Major League Baseball's regular season wraps up tomorrow, as baseball fans are well aware. For the first time in 6 years, the Oakland A's will live to play on in the postseason. The Washington Nationals clinched their division for the first time since the club moved south from Canada. The New York Yankees and Baltimore Orioles are going down to the wire, fighting to win the American League East. All that, and there's this new one-game wild card playoff system to think about, and that's going to make things very exciting. So many reasons to envy fans whose teams are actually going on. And then there's my team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who set a new record for futility. 20 losing seasons in a row, maybe, and counting. We are not going to talk about that with NPR sports correspondent Mike Pesca, but he will be here in a second to talk about baseball from every other angle he wants to. What surprised you about this baseball season? 800-989-8255 is our number. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. If that's best for you, go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. NPR correspondent Mike Pesca joins us from our bureau in New York. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And, you know, when I'm not a dispassionate observer of this grand old game, I do pull for the Mets, and I am in largely your boat, David. Although I didn't have the brief surge of, actually, the Mets were pretty good, but they collapsed a lot earlier than the Pirates. So
you knew you were done early in the season. You didn't have to go through this emotional roller coaster.
The Mets were okay at the All-Star break. But, you know, at least they have this knuckleball pitcher, R.A. Dickey, who is probably slightly the favorite for the Cy Young. He's pitching tonight.
Yeah.
And that's one great thing about baseball. Terrible team, but one good player you still tune in to watch.
Is that the mark of a good sports fan when you say "we" to describe your team?
No, that's the mark of a bad journalist, actually.
Well, can we talk about the Oakland A's?
Let's.
They're still chasing the Texas Rangers, maybe to win the AL West.
Yeah.
And they play each other. I mean, this might not just be a wild card for them. This could be a division title. Did anyone expect this from the A's this year?
No, this is crazy. This is the biggest story of the season. The Orioles give them a close run for their money, especially because the Orioles are in the very tough division of the East. But, you know, Oakland has been doing it with spare parts and, you know, Billy Bean savvy. They even made a movie about it, Moneyball. So here's a guy who knows he's going to get outspent and is getting more outspent these days than he did when the events in the book Moneyball took place, when he knew that, I can't quite say the whole quote, but here's the Yankees, here's a pile of excrement, and here's us.
Oh, my. You know?
Yes.
Well, you know,
so the A's have this great pitching staff. There's so many of them. They have a player, a Cuban defector named Yonis Cespedes, who, here's a good stat, of all the teams in the American League, the player who has the highest winning percentage in games he plays in is Yonis Cespedes.
Wow.
So I think that he's not going to win the MVP, but he couldn't be more valuable to that team.
Well, let's take a call from California right off the bat. The call's already lighting up. You know what happens when you talk baseball. Vincent from Fresno, California, you're on Talk of the Nation. Welcome.
Hi, I'm an A's fan from Fresno. And first off, I'd like to say I think that the A's really did fantastic this season. And I think you really have to attribute that to the management of Bob Melvin and to how well Billy Bean managed his team, especially with his budget. But my question really is it a long-term sustainable team? Because you have so many rookies, you have so many very young players that aren't on this long-term contract.
Well, we'll pose that question to Mike Pesca. Vincent, thanks for the call.
Yeah, so here's how Billy Bean does it. You know, one of the best teams in the National League, one of their best pitchers is Gio Gonzalez. And Gio Gonzalez was a young guy on the A's, and Billy Bean traded him. He didn't trade him in the year his contract was up. He didn't even use Gio Gonzalez for the length of the term that he could have. He got maximum value, traded this really great young players, and got a lot of good players in return. So there are a lot of teams that if they find out they're not in contention, they'll trade a player who might be of value. The A's, with the lowest, possibly the second lowest, I mean, they're within a few thousand dollars of the Padres for having the lowest payroll in baseball. They take this to the extreme, and if there's anyone with any value, they'll trade that guy for prospects. You know, everyone in Oakland is talking about a move to a new stadium, and without that, can they ever have the economics to sustain this long term?
Yeah.
But maybe Billy Bean can work his magic in a series of trades of promising young players over the short term and just getting better young players in.
The Washington Nationals, Mike, surprised everybody. I mean, first winning season since moving to the nation's capital, very close to finishing with the best record in the league. But they have decided to take their best pitcher out of the lineup for the playoffs and hold on and make sure he's healthy in the long term. How far can they go?
Well, they would probably do better. I mean, the statistics and, you know, logic would say that with an ace, Steven Strasburg, in the rotation for the playoffs, they'd probably do better. But management has decided his health is more important. It's not that he was injured, but he is coming off Tommy John surgery. So sit him down, put an innings limit on him, and let's see how they could do in the playoffs. You know, the playoffs are a big crapshoot, and that is the virtue and also the detriment of Major League Baseball, because we play 162 games, and the cream really rises over that amount of time. And yet the playoffs, it's all compressed, especially this year with a one-game playoff. I mean, this is a coin flip where maybe you can weight one end of the coin slightly more than another. Fans of the teams don't want to hear that, but a one-game series in baseball is really, you know, not much of a series at all. So, yeah. The Nationals can do good. They could do well, I should say. I think that they're trying to establish themselves as not a team that will win it this year, though stranger things have happened, but a team that will contend for, you know, a decade to come.
All right, let's take one more call. Dallas from Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. So obviously, being from Michigan, we were pretty stoked yesterday to watch the Tigers pull through.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that we're getting nearly enough love nationally. I just think that we're kind of being written off, even though Verlander, obviously, is a starting pitcher, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Cabrera is probably going to be the MVP. I mean, really, our full starting rotation. I know that it was rough around, you know, the All-Star break, but we've just been killing it, and I think that we are going to just absolutely destroy everybody.
Well, your record not as good as the other division winners, though, as I understand it, but you think that you have what it takes to go on.
Absolutely. I'm talking, like, if you look at the actual stats, our record should be a hell of a lot better than it is right now.
Yeah,
slump. But now that people are looking healthy, I think we should be pretty solid.
Thanks for the call, Dallas.
That's why you didn't get the love, because they had underachieved for all this time. They were a division winner last year. They went out, they signed Prince Fielder, one of the best, maybe he and Pujols are the best free agent first baseman. So they added offense, and then they were bad. They were bad for much of the season. So, of course, they're not going to get talked about. When they caught fire and became good towards the end of the season, now they're competing with a lot of other stories, you know, stories like the teams we were talking about. So they get lost a little bit in the conversation. It doesn't matter. The conversation has no effect on Justin Verlander's fastball, as I understand it.
Mike, we're going to go to Drew in Dayton, Ohio. Drew, you're on Talk of the Nation.
How you doing? I just have a question. I'm a big Cincinnati Reds fan, and from like your previous caller, I feel like they, even though having one of the top records in the league, aren't quite getting quite the respect that other teams have gotten in the past. So how have small market teams like the Cincinnati Reds been able to compete against these huge market teams like the Yankees and teams like that, and really end up with a much better record? Yet you turn on the ESPNs and things like that, and it's all about those big market teams, and this is that Cincinnati Reds that have done so well all year long aren't quite getting the airplay. So how has that affected the game of baseball with these small market teams doing such a fantastic job?
Yeah, it's a good question. Mike Pesca, talk about the small market teams. Are they getting the love that they deserve, and is there a feeling that in the playoffs the big money teams will prevail in the end, and these small market teams, you know, won't actually have the tools to do well when push really comes to shove, or could one of these small market teams win the World Series?
No, you see, so the big market teams, it must be stated, ESPN gives them attention because they are from big markets, television markets, meaning
it's
ratings.
All that money.
Sure. If you put, you know, ESPN pays so much attention to the Yankees, and they're always accused of an East Coast bias because they're near Hartford, but it's just because they know that more people will tune in to see the teams that have the big fan bases. If you look at the history of the playoffs, yes, there is a correlation between the amount of money you spend on a team and wins. A rough correlation, and a correlation that's becoming less strict or less correlative in the last few years. And then when it comes to the playoffs, you do see this crapshoot, this roulette wheel. And so the amount of payroll, or even, I'm going to say, the overall quality of a team is not necessarily as important as it is during the 162-game season. Luck often prevails. So do a couple of other things. Having one or two dominant starters who could pitch fastballs, having a really good closer. So I don't know if the Reds, yes, they're small markets. Cincinnati actually only has around 300,000 people. If you look at the metropolitan statistical area, Cincinnati's not a big town. But they've got they've got a great closer. They've got great starting pitching. And the batting, that's a little more variable. If they get hot at the right time, of course they could win the World Series.
Let's talk about luck, or at least what seems like luck. The Baltimore Orioles this season have had all this success in extra innings. They've won 16 straight extra inning games, and as I understand, it's the most for one team in a season since the Braves won 17 in 1999. Here's the call from a few of those games.
Line drive right field. That ball is off the glove. The Orioles pull it out in 14 and pull within 4.5 of first place.
Leaders on the 0-2 in the air to right field, back at the wall, and it comes off the wall. The Orioles win it 5-4. A new franchise record. 9 consecutive extra inning wins.
Taylor Teagarden, in his second at bat of the season, wins this game with a 2-run shot in 13. The Orioles win it.
It's Orioles announcer Jim Thorne from Mid-Atlantic Sports Network really sounding like a broken record in many ways.
Yeah, it's so boring when they win these exciting games.
Yeah, they must hate it in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, what has Orioles manager Buck Showalter done with this lineup to get all these last-second wins?
Well, obviously, he's been mediocre during the first 9 innings.
So that's one way to put it.
Yeah, so the theory is that, is it just luck or is there some special magic in Baltimore? I will say this. They have a great bullpen, and those are the pitchers that are pitching in extra innings, so they do have an advantage. But if you look at Buck Showalter's career, he's managing a lot of other stops. The Yankees, Diamondbacks, Rangers, is not a good manager in extra innings. Most managers aren't. Almost everyone's about 500 in extra innings over a long length of a career, because there's not seen as any way to get better in extra innings. But if anyone's done it, maybe the Orioles have done it. Not only do they have good relief pitchers, they're using their relief pitchers in the right circumstances. They're using them in what's called high leverage circumstances. So that's good. You know, a lot of teams just don't manage that smart, I have to say. You get really smart managers. I put Buck Showalter in that category. I certainly put Joe Maddon, who manages the Rays, in that category. They're not going to make the playoffs, but Joe Maddon's intelligence has certainly won them a few extra games. But there are a lot of managers who just kind of go by the book and will only put their closer in, their best relief pitcher in, where in the ninth inning when they have a lead by 1-3 runs. That's probably not the best way to do it. You add it all up, I would say this, and I've said this on NPR, and Orioles fans don't like that I say it, and it's not just me. Everyone is talking about luck, is saying that the amount of wins, the number of wins that you would expect for the Orioles, given what they've put together, is much higher than the expected number of wins is lower than the number they actually have. So if you're an Orioles fan, think of it like, good, it's us against the world. It's the stat guys against what we're seeing every day. And yeah, Wouldn't you want an exciting team that's pulling it out in overtime again and again and again? I think this is the best, most exciting team in baseball to be a fan of, especially because it's coming on the heels of about a 20-year drought.
We're talking sports with NPR's Mike Pesca. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Mike, let's before I let you go, get to my Pittsburgh Pirates. 20 years losing seasons straight, the most of any North American professional sports franchise. Do other Pirate fans have anything to look forward to?
I don't know. How's your breaking ball, David?
not funny.
I was reading a Sports Illustrated article which tried to make the case that they're getting better. And one of the arguments was this year's collapse occurred at a later point in the season than last year's collapse.
Hmm.
That's
the positive here?
That's what you're grasping onto. The Pirates have a lot of good young talent. That is true. They have guys who are coming into their own and who will only get better. They made a number of good signings in terms of pitching. Actually, it was a trade for A.J. Burnett. Yeah. And we'll see what the offseason has to offer. I think that, except for the fact that they've lost 20 in a row, there is no reason to think they won't be a winning team next year.
Well, you have given us all reason to hope. Mike Pesca, thank you for talking sports and baseball with us, and enjoy the playoffs.
My pleasure. I shall.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.